are bad. Can a person trust God even when his heart is shattered? Hey, is God really in control? Is Romans 8:28 really a truth that we can cling to? A truth that says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, the answer to all those questions is a resounding yes. Welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. And today we welcome to the broadcast a dear, dear friend of mine, somebody that was very instrumental in my early Christian life at the University of Texas. Sean Breedlove and his beautiful wife, Deanne, are here with us all the way from Austin, Texas. Sean and Deanne, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning.
Hello.
Glad to be with you.
Hey, it's great to have you guys. And Sean and Deanne have a beautiful family and three children. And when their family was getting started, they had little baby girl Allie. And then, 19 months later, they had little Ben. And everything seemed wonderful. And then 4 months into Ben's life, you guys found out some terrible news. Tell us about that.
Well, when Ben was little, he went to his regular pediatric checkups, and his doctor was a wonderful doctor and very attentive, and heard what sounded like an innocent heart murmur, but his doctor wanted to be careful about it and sent us to a cardiologist. And the cardiologist diagnosed Ben with a heart condition called hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. And even today, there's not a cure for it. And most people don't know they have it until they experience something pretty severe, like sudden death. So we were thankful that we had the diagnosis and knew what we were dealing with and could take the measures to keep Ben as safe as possible.
Well, now, Sean, I was reading something even this morning that when you got that diagnosis from the doctor, as a dad, as a man who trusts the Lord and loves the Lord, how did you process information? Because he told you your son is not going to live past his teens. Is that right?
Yeah, one of the first conversations that we had in consultation with the heart specialist, I mean, he was a real kind of a straightforward, don't mix any words about it kind of guy. And he basically said, you know, this is something that Ben can live with, but there's no cure. And, you know, he basically said, but don't expect him to live beyond his early teens.
I mean, that's devastating news for a young parent. How did you guys process that?
Well, I will say I don't remember the doctor saying that, and I think that's a way that God protected me, because that would have been pretty devastating, to say the least. What I do remember is when the first doctor called me on the phone to give me the initial diagnosis, Sean was at work and I was at home with the little kids because they were little preschool age. And as soon as the doctor got off the phone, I don't mean to sound so high and mighty or anything, but I literally got on my knees right then and thanked God that we had that diagnosis, because we knew something was wrong leading up to that. We didn't know what, but now at least we knew what we were dealing with. And I just thanked God that we knew the situation and that we could go from there. And, of course, hugged little Ben. And so I don't remember the conversation with the doctor about giving a timeline to Ben's life.
Well, he didn't really give a timeline necessarily, but he did warn us that, you know, it's not common for people to right. live, you know, for a long time after, you know, their early, you know, teen years.
Right. Now, did he tell you, hey, you got to keep him away from sports and you got to, you know, that kind of thing? Were there a lot of restrictions put on his life?
You know, that's one of the things we really appreciated about Ben's doctor, who was Dr. Rowe here in Austin. He told us what the recommendations were, which are to not play competitive sports because it puts too much strain on your heart, and to avoid situations where you might get scared. You know, for example, something as simple as a haunted house at Halloween or something like that. Anything that would rush adrenaline through your heart would overwork the heart, and the heart might not respond appropriately, and that's where you get into the trouble of sudden death and things like that. And forgive me, I'm not a doctor, so I don't want anyone to take any of this, what I'm saying, as any medical truth or advice. But so his doctor explained what the recommendations were, and we wanted Ben to live his life. So over Ben's childhood, we and Ben and his doctor kind of managed those parameters. So Ben could do these things, but not those things. And we always left the door open to do things and try them until Ben decided it was not working for him.
Yeah. Now, Deanne, Sean told me just last week when we were talking that when Ben was little, like 4 years old, he was asking questions about Jesus and how does a person go to heaven. And tell us about that.
When you're in the car.
Yeah, you know, that's just one of the sweetest things I think a parent could ever go through, is being there with your child while they're questioning these big eternal questions. And I don't know, you know, exactly what was in his mind. I don't know the scope of his understanding, but what happened was we were driving in the car and we hadn't had our third child yet, Jake. So it was just Allie and Ben and me at the time. And for some reason,
they were in the back seat in their car seats, right? No, not yet.
Well, Ben was in the front seat, and I was just about to say, I'm not even sure why he was in the front seat, because people don't do that anymore. But he was about four, and he just got real serious all of a sudden. He said, Mom, how do we know if we get to go to heaven? And I was prepared to answer that in life, but I wasn't prepared in that split second. So I just kind of blurted something out, and I said, well, you know, Ben, you pray and you talk to Jesus about it, and you let him know that you want to be there with him. And Ben said, well, will you pray that for me? And I said, no, I think Jesus really wants to hear from you when you're ready. And he said, okay, Mom, well, let's do it now. Well, I'm driving. And I said, okay. And he said, well, what do I say? How do I do it? I said, you just talk to Jesus and you pray. And Ben knew how to pray. So he bowed his little head and folded his little hands, and he said something very simple and sincere, like, dear Jesus, I love you. I want to be in heaven with you, and I want you to be my helper throughout my life. And when he, you know, of course, my heart's melting as his mom, but when he lifted his little face up, he always had a real big, bright smile, and he was smiling really big, and he had tears in his eyes. So I knew this was a very sincere, meaningful moment for him, as it was for me. And I was, again, very thankful to have been there and very, very pleased that his little tiny self made that decision.
Yeah. Now, it wasn't long after that that he had his first near-death experience. Is that right?
Somewhat. What happened was, I don't remember how much longer, but it was definitely within a year. And it was before Ben turned five. It was about a month before his fifth birthday. And he had recently been prescribed a new heart medication. And one morning, Allie and Ben and I woke up to just start our day. And we were going to go swimming with some friends that day. And I kind of noticed Ben didn't look right. He looked kind of groggy, and So I said, Ben, are you doing okay? And he didn't really answer me. So I just pulled him out of his bed and put him in mine and thought maybe he's just waking up a little more slowly because he didn't look bad. So I told my daughter, who was very young at the time also, she was only six. I said, Allie, I'm going to jump in the shower real quickly, and will you just sit here with Ben? And she said, sure, Mom. So as soon as I got in the shower, Allie came running in there and got me, and she said, something's really wrong with Ben. And I went in there, and he was not breathing well. He was kind of gasping a little bit, and his lips had started to turn blue, and his eyes didn't look right. So, I mean, it was definitely an emergency, and I don't remember the details, but I threw some clothes on real quickly. I said, Allie, we need to take Ben now. And instead of calling an ambulance, which is what you should do and we would have done, instead I put him in our car because we live so far out that
yes,
ambulances would take too long to get here.
Right.
And so I didn't want to risk that, and we just threw Ben in the car and drove and drove and decided to stop at the nearest fire station.
That was smart. Well, I know that based on the reading that I've done, that was a significant time for him because he got a little taste at almost 5 years old, a little taste of heaven. Sean, tell us about that.
Yeah, so, you know, it was really good that Dan stopped at the fire station because they were able to put him on oxygen right away. So that was, you know, if you have a seizure, if you know, he had like a 45 minute seizure, and that can result in brain damage, but I think
right.
that oxygen may have saved his brain.
But and actually what had happened was we found out, the new medication that he had been put on made his blood sugar drop to 14.
Oh, wow.
And his body was reacting to that. And so that was what the medical situation was.
So anyway, he obviously went to the emergency room, and the doctors, when I had arrived at the emergency room, they were still trying to get him to wake up. He was in a bad situation. They couldn't revive him. And fortunately, after, I don't know how long it was, maybe it seemed like 5 or 10 minutes, they were still trying to get him to respond, and he finally came to. But he was in the hospital. He stayed in the hospital. They were able to revive him, and he stayed in the hospital overnight, I think. And then he and Deanne, they were transferring him out of ICU out of the emergency room into another room where he could recover. And I'll let Deanne tell the story because she was the one that was with him at the time.
So they were wheeling him from the ER into his ICU room where he'd stay a few days. And we were going down this long hallway, and a nurse was alongside us, and Ben was laying on the gurney, and I was walking alongside him, holding his hand. And the nurse had a monitor, and she's talking to another nurse downstairs because they're still very actively monitoring his heart rate at this point. And the nurse downstairs said, is the patient doing okay? And the nurse with me said, sure, he looks good. And she said, okay, we're just checking because his heart rate is only 30 beats a minute. And around that time, Ben is talking to me, and he said, Mom, look at that light. And he was looking right above him. And I said, which light, Ben? Because the lights in that hallway were not turned on that day. They were doing some reconstruction in the hospital along that corridor, and the only light coming into that space was coming from the windows on the side, on the wall. But Ben was looking right above him, and he said, Mom, look at that light, that bright white light. It's right above me. And I wish I would have paid more attention in that moment, but I didn't, and I just said, well, Ben, I don't see the light. And we just kept walking and going on to the room.
Deanne, let me break in because we're going to a break. We're talking to Sean and Deanne Breedlove about their son, Ben, and his incredible story. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. Don't go away.
There's a culture war raging in America, and like it or not, we're in the battle.
Sandy Rios, host of Sandy Rios in the Morning.
For 40-plus years, American Family Association has been fighting for biblical values in America. We've been here to shine the light of Christ into a dark world and to stand against the evil of the day. And by God's grace, we're making a difference. One vital way that you can join forces with us is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. The charitable gift annuity will benefit you and help ensure AFA is in the fight for years to come.
You can learn more about charitable annuities and other financial products at afafoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
Is your success in life being stolen? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Unbelief is involved in every single sin. Why did Eve eat the forbidden fruit? Because she believed the devil's lie rather than God's truth. Hey, if you don't believe God, you'll never be a success.
Learn what real success can be like. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart each weeknight at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
Persecuted Christians in China, they're beaten, jailed, and threatened with death, and they need your help today. This is Bible League International, and just outside of Beijing, 12-year-old Ming became a believer after learning English as a second language through a program from Bible League because the Bible is the source of the reading assignments. Ming would lead her father, Dai Ku, a Confucianist, to Christ, but her bitter atheist mother has turned them in for attending a house church near their home outside of Beijing. Now, we're not sure what's going to happen to these two, but they remain faithful in worship, and they're praying for Bibles because in their church of 200, there's only about 3 Bibles. Many are known to stay after the service to write down some scriptures just to have something to take into their week. And 50-year-old Katsu, beaten and jailed many times as a pastor, he led his atheist interrogator to Christ. Together, they've seen thousands come to Christ. They need Bibles in China. We're sending God's word to 16,000 persecuted believers. We have to do this by the end of June. So at $5 a Bible, call 800-YES-WORD, 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 or give it sendbiblesnow.org, sendbiblesnow.org.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're talking to Sean and Deanne Breedlove. Their son, Ben, went home to be with the Lord on Christmas Day 2011. He has a phenomenal story. And their daughter, Allie, their oldest daughter, Allie, wrote a book about that that sold like crazy. Ben was a YouTube sensation. And after his death, his YouTube presentation of his life, My Story, was seen by over 13 million people in 30 different countries. It's a tremendous story of how God takes something terrible and heartbreaking and bad and works it together for good by the power of the cross. So, Deanne, as we left the first segment, you were saying that he saw this bright light just as a almost 5-year-old little boy as he had his first near-death experience. And so continue on in that story.
Sure. So we finally got to Ben's hospital room and we settled in. And that night I was laying in the bed with Ben in the hospital. And he said, Mom, remember that bright light that I saw today? And I said, yeah, the one that I couldn't see. And he said, you know what? I know it was an angel. And I didn't know exactly what to say. I believe God has created angels. I know he uses them, but I didn't really know what to say in that split second. And I said, Ben, that's really neat. Tell me about it. He said, well, Mom, it was real bright white light, and I know it was telling me that everything was going to be okay, and I didn't have to worry about anything. And to hear that from my child, who's so much younger and innocent and isn't jaded by knowledge, you know, he was just sharing a very real experience that he had. And that experience stayed with him his whole life, because that's what he wrote about when he wrote his college applications when he was 18 before he passed away. And that is something that encouraged him his whole life and boosted his faith. And he shared it as often as he could, but he was very selective with who he shared that with also.
Right. Now, although he couldn't play sports, he could still go out water skiing and waveboarding and all that stuff. I've seen pictures of him out there. And so you guys let him do that?
Yeah. You know, when he was in middle school, one of his goals was to be an NBA basketball player. Well, he's a short kid. He's a short white kid that couldn't jump. And
like his dad.
Yeah. And so he had aspirations to do some things, and his doctor advised against it, but we decided to let him play basketball. And then when he was older, he decided he wanted to spend some of his time wakeboarding, and we allowed him to wakeboard because it was one of the few athletic type of things that he could do that just didn't, you know, wear him out when he performed the activity.
Yeah,
and
that's good.
He was a good steward of his body too, because he would stop if he needed to, and he would ask for help, and he wouldn't push himself beyond what he felt comfortable doing.
Okay, now did you guys tell him that, you know, I mean, he knew about his condition, obviously. Did he know that I'm probably not going to live long?
We were just talking about that during the break. I was asking Deanne how old he was. I think he was driving in the car with Deanne from after a doctor appointment or something. And I'll let Deanne.
He was in eighth grade, and he had regular cardiac checkups. And on this particular checkup, the news was a little more serious than usual. And we got in the car to run some errands afterwards. And Ben turned to me once again while we're driving. And he was very serious. He said, "Mom, am I going to die?" And I looked over at my beautiful, vibrant eighth grade son. And I said, "You know, Ben, yes, and so am I, and so is Dad and Ellie and Jake. And none of us know when, but God does." And I said, "I have just as much chance of passing away from asthma, you know, jumping in the lake and having an asthma attack as you do from your heart condition." And I said, "But you know what? In the meantime, I think you do a really good job of living your life." And that seemed to satisfy the two of us. And I felt like God kind of gave me those words, because I didn't really know how to answer that question. And
if you can imagine, he was getting to the age where he began to realize, from all these doctor appointments that he had all the time with the doctor who really told things like it was, basically saying, "You know, your chances of surviving this are probably not great."
And I want to say, as his mom, well, Sean too, Sean and I never intended to lie to him or sugarcoat anything, because it was his life, his body, and he really needed to know, you know, the level of information that's appropriate for his age. And so I did not believe he was going to pass away anytime soon. I didn't have that sense or that feeling. And I told him that. And so I wasn't trying to lie to him or avoid the question. I just gave him my honest answer.
Right. That's a great answer too, Deanne. Okay. Now, I know you guys love the Lord, and you believe in the power of prayer, and no doubt you were praying that God would bring healing to him. And the Lord did bring healing, but in a different way. Tell me how you processed through that, because, you know, a lot of people get bitter at God when tragedy comes into their lives and when a difficulty like that happens. And no doubt you know, Sean, you'd be like, God, give that to me. Don't give that to Ben. And I'd rather have this difficulty and be facing death rather than he. So how did you guys deal with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a real sobering thing to learn that your son or your child has a condition that he might not survive. And of course, we spent a lot of time praying for him and praying that that we could make his life as good as we could as parents and take care of him the best that we could. But it still, in the middle of that doesn't alleviate all your concerns and your, you know, as parents, the news that hits you from doctors, and it comes back to you over and over, and he has all these events that with his heart, he had multiple events with his heart during his life that were near death type experiences, and it was tough. It's tough to process all these things, but we did pray and we did trust God. And I remember a conversation Deanne and I had one time where we were talking, and you know, we had strong moments and we had very weak moments, but Deanne was very concerned about Ben's health. And I said, look, we're not in control of this. God is in control, and we're not going to worry about something that hasn't happened yet. Mm-hmm. We're going to enjoy our lives. We're going to enjoy Ben's presence with us as long as he's here.
Mm. And that is awesome.
Yeah, and you know, I think I remembered a verse that I learned in college. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And that was what we decided to do.
Mm.
Is to enjoy every day and be thankful to God for what we have instead of something that we don't have.
Yeah, I love that. You know, it's like the book of James, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. You guys were tested greatly as a family, no doubt. And Allie knew that her brother was had a serious situation, right? I mean, you didn't sugarcoat anything for your kids.
No, and you know, as she got older, she understood very well what his condition was and what could happen, of course.
And I have to say, Allie and Jake, you know, every parent thinks their children are the best, and I'm one of those parents. But Allie and Jake were just an amazing brother and sister to Ben, because from the time Ben was little and born, Allie would nurture him and comfort him and love him and sing to him. And as Ben got older and his heart condition became more complex, she responded to that with more love and attention and kindness. And they were confidants. Yeah. And little Jake would swoop in and take over Ben's chores around the house and stay home and play with him when Ben didn't feel well enough to go outside. And they were just the best brother and sister that he could have had. And so all three of them were very loving to each other.
Well, so let's fast forward to the second near-death experience that Ben had. How old was he?
He was 18. And he was a senior in high school. He had already started writing his college applications that I referred to earlier, and if you remember, he wrote them about having been 4 years old and been comforted by an angel that God sent to him when he was having a medical emergency. And so that faith was still there. But when he was 18, his medications kind of quit becoming effective, and the doctors were trying to figure out next steps. One of those next steps was to visit a heart transplant team to start gathering information for that possibility. And so Ben's health was declining kind of rapidly that fall. He turned 18 in August, and between August and December, his health was getting worse. And he missed a lot of school that semester. And for the first time that Sean and I could remember, his spirits were getting very low. He was getting a little more cranky and irritable, and that was never his personality. He was always very joyful and happy.
But it was because his heart was in defibrillation? Is that what it was called?
Yeah, his heart was experiencing an arrhythmia, where arrhythmias are where your heart beats either too fast or too slow, and his was doing both at different times. Mm-hmm. But what happened was finals were coming up at the end of the semester, and Ben wanted to get back to school to get to the finals reviews so he could be prepared to take the finals. And after being home for a couple of weeks, he said, "Mom, I really need to go back to school." And I was a little bit concerned because his health was so bad at that time. And he said, "I promise if I feel bad, I'll call you. You can come pick me up." And I said, "All right, let's do that." So I drove him to school, and he went on in the door and went to school. And because it was close to Christmas time, I decided to go get some Christmas shopping done. And not too long after that, I get this desperate phone call from Sean saying, "It's Ben. We need to get to the school now." Mm. And so what happened was Ben was walking down the hallway, and he went into cardiac arrest and fell down. And his heart had stopped, his breathing had stopped, and some of the kids called to the school nurse, and she went over to his aid.
Yeah, she immediately started administering CPR, and it was during that time that Ben went out, and he has an incredible story to tell there, but that's when he claims that he went to heaven when his heart stopped, and they were trying to get him to recover on the floor of the high school.
Yeah.
And there's a Bible teacher that uses a phrase, the duality of reality, and I think it describes that moment really well, because to all the bystanders watching Ben on the floor of the school, they saw him in great distress, and his face was purple, according to the school nurse. He was not reviving. By then, the sheriff and, you know, a lot of other people had gathered around. EMS was there. They're putting the defibrillator on him. They're giving him CPR. Nothing's working. So in this physical realm, it looks horrible. But what Ben described to us after he was revived, later he said, "Mom and Dad, I was in a white room, and it had no walls, and the peace was exactly like that peace I felt when I was 4 years old when the angel came and visited me." And he then went on to tell us with all the sincerity in the world that he had gone to heaven. He called it the waiting room of heaven, and he described this profound peace that he could not describe with human words. And at a different point, he said, "You know, I think God let me have that experience so I wouldn't be afraid of dying."
We were in the kitchen here, and he said, "You know what, Mom and Dad? It wasn't a vision, and it wasn't a dream." He said, "I was there."
Mm. And he Sean, went on to describe, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Sean, so from a theological standpoint, how did you process that?
that was a tough one.
Yeah.
Here is your son who wasn't, you know, like a lot of teenagers, wasn't necessarily very real expressive about his spiritual life at this time, when, you know, when the teenagers aren't talking to their parents near as much as they used to when they were younger. But here's my teenager who almost didn't survive. He said, "This wasn't something I dreamed up. This wasn't something that was fake." He said, "I was there." And I said, "You know what? I'm just going to believe this kid for what he's saying, because this experience had a huge impact on him."
Amen.
And, he described this event where he actually went into the waiting room of heaven, and he was looking into a mirror with Kid Cudi standing next to him.
Hold that thought, Sean. We're going to be right back. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go away.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Hey, I'm Matthew West, and I've got some great news. There is a way to break free from drug addiction, no matter how hopeless things might seem.
I would go to substances to try to fill something that I was missing, and it was to the point where I couldn't be social at all with anyone unless I was drinking. And it cost me everything. I lost my apartment, I lost all my possessions. I couldn't be close with anybody that I loved. I was on the verge of just total destruction. And now that I'm going through the teen challenge, I found what I was looking for. I found truth in Jesus Christ. I just want to be level-headed, level-minded, and be a man of God for my family. I know I'm going in the right direction. I'm just excited to live life like I haven't lived before.
If you or a loved one is ready to end addiction, you can call Adult and Teen Challenge at 1-855-END-ADDICTION. Or visit them online at teenchallengeusa.org. You're listening to American Family Radio.
Abraham Hamilton III, host of The Hamilton Corner.
American Family Association is on the front lines in the culture war in America. We've been here for more than 40 years fighting for the biblical principles our nation was founded upon. And by God's grace, we are making a difference. One significant way you can join us in this battle is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. Not only will the charitable gift annuity benefit you, but it will benefit the culture-transforming work of American Family Association.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity helps you, and it allows AFA to impact America for generations to come. Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. We're talking to my good friend, Sean Breedlove, and his sweet wife, Deanne. We're talking about their son, Ben, who lived a relatively short life, just 18 years on this earth, but made a big, big impact for the kingdom of God. And Sean, as we left right before the break, you were saying, okay, so Ben shared this experience he had in the waiting room of heaven in his near-death experience, and you chose to just say, I trust that my son had some experience that was really life-changing, because I know a lot of people will, theologically, they say, well, wait a minute, I don't know about this. And so you had those same struggles with that, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know what to think of it theologically. I have since learned from our pastor who did Ben's funeral, who actually preached on the near-death experiences that he recognizes in the Bible, and he actually suggested that the Apostle Paul had a near-death experience and described it in Corinthians.
Right.
But in any event, it was something I decided to just accept for the moment, but I was explaining one of the things that he experienced in the waiting room of heaven, that he and Kid Cudi were standing in front of a mirror, and Ben saw his whole life flash before him in that mirror. And Ben's words were, I was proud of everything that I had done. And I don't know exactly what he meant by that, but I can't help but think of what the book of Corinthians teaches about how we see, you know, God sees us as perfect by the blood of Jesus, because of the blood of Jesus. And he then saw his whole life flash before him in this mirror, and he was proud of everything that he'd done. And I can't help but think that he really couldn't say that without the work of Jesus that he had done for him. And maybe that's the message that he got from that mirror experience in heaven.
Now, that was December of 2011, early in December or late February or late November. When exactly was that?
That was on December 6th.
Okay.
And
And so then he comes home and revived, but you can tell things aren't good.
Yeah, he's not doing well. He actually, after the event on December 6th, he actually recovered just fine. But his heart is still, he's still experiencing arrhythmia. And I want to make it clear, Ben didn't talk about this experience very much at all. We had a couple of intimate conversations with Ben about this experience, but he really didn't talk about it with anybody. And this is pretty common of people with near-death experiences.
Right.
But, so his health continued to deteriorate until Christmas morning.
Did you have any... Go ahead, Deanne.
I'd like to add, you asked Sean how he processed that. When Ben shared that with us, I completely believed it because of Ben's sincerity and just his demeanor and the way he explained what had happened to him. And after his cardiac arrest and his near-death experience, his spirits were buoyed again. It's like we got our Ben back when he had been so depressed. And he was still physically very, very tired and weak. But all of a sudden, he made a point to ask me to take him to see one of his best friends. He said, "Mom, I really, really need to see him." And he just wanted to go be with him for a day. And he did. And then he wanted to go see another friend of his that was actually in the hospital. He was, I wouldn't say adamant about it, but he was very firm about saying, "Mom, I really need to go see him." And so he went and spent an hour or so with that friend. And he became very intentional with his time. It was very unique, and there's so many things in Scripture about, like Sean said, the Apostle Paul had the same experience, and these things, we live the Christian life, right? And I feel like we're giving this information in kind of a dry way, but in my opinion, these are the miracles. These are the things where God comes and meets us where we are and Amen. Gives us what we need when we need it. And he Amen. Gave Ben such a big dose of what Ben needed.
Yeah. Well, okay, so Christmas Day, celebration, you guys are all together having a lot of fun. I mean, did you have any sense that this might be the day the Lord takes him home, or was that just a total shock?
No, it was a total shock. Let me say something that happened, though, before Christmas Day. Ben's health was deteriorating, and he was spending some contemplative time alone out on the back of our boat out on the water, and our daughter found him out there one night. She said, "Ben, what are you doing out here?" And he said, "Well, this is the closest I have come to the peace that I experienced in heaven." And they proceeded to talk again, Allie being his confidant. He began to sob talking to her. And he said, "I don't know what to do right now because I want to go back to heaven." He said the experience was so overwhelmingly peaceful and positive for him that he didn't want to stay on this earth, even though he enjoyed his life to the fullest. He had incredible friends. He had an incredible time living his life with his friends. And yet he had this experience in heaven and wanted to go back.
That's just awesome. And then you guys get to keep that in your heart as you deal with the aftermath of everything. Sean, I was reading today an article about you guys, and you were talking about that Christmas day and leaving the hospital and how incredibly difficult it is as a mom, as a dad, as a family to leave the hospital and to leave your son. And can you share, and I don't want to get too deep, you know, into your heart, but can you share what that was like?
Yeah, I mean, I have to say it's probably the darkest time of my life. But, you know, you take your child to the hospital, and you never leave him there. You never leave your child at the hospital, and we had to leave him there after he passed away. It was tough.
And what was so, there were so many difficult, indescribable things, but we sensed that Ben had already passed away before the doctor confirmed it, and we were there, right there with him. And as soon as we had the confirmation from the doctor, Sean and I prayed and thanked Jesus for welcoming Ben into his arms and bringing Ben to him. And so as people who, you know, anyone who understands God's promise in that way, we were comforted knowing Ben was good. He was back where he wanted to be. He was with Jesus, and we trust that Jesus is a better caretaker than us.
Yeah, the morning after we woke up after Ben died, Jeff, it was a very, very dark time for us. Even though, you know, we were Christians, you know, we didn't want to go anywhere. We didn't want to do anything. We didn't want to talk to anybody. And we didn't want to eat. We didn't want to sleep. We didn't want to, you know, it was very tough. And then at about 9 o'clock that morning after Ben passed away, we had stayed up till late at night, obviously. And the doorbell rang us. I thought to myself, who is coming to our house the day after our son passed away? And it was my business partner and his family who had come over to pay their condolences. And, you know, he obviously felt like he had the ability to come over and do that. And they came in and they sat down on our couch and we talked, and then they were about to leave. And his wife said, "What did you think about the video?" And we said, "What video?" Because we had no clue that Ben had shared his near-death experience on YouTube. And his, unbeknownst to us, his YouTube video had begun to go viral on the internet the morning after he passed away. And they said, "Well, you need to watch that video." And of course, we were a little bit concerned because we didn't know what it was and
yeah.
Didn't know anything about it. It was like, what did he do this time? Well, so after they left, as a family, we sat down and watched that video. And it was probably one of the most comforting things we ever experienced, because our son was on the video alive and telling us about his near-death experience and basically saying, "This is so good that I want to go back." And we remembered that, what he told us, and he was reminding us on this video that it may be dark for you, Sean and Deanne, but it's great for him. And we all forget, even though we believe in heaven, that the other side is so much better than what, you know, what we have here.
And, you know, the day before we had to say goodbye to Ben and walk away from him, and then we had to do something that felt equally difficult. We had to go into another room and tell Allie and Jake that they just lost their brother. And that was so hard. I could not do it. I turned to Sean. I said, you're going to have to do this. And Sean stepped up like a man and a dad, and he did it. And so, like Sean said, we were at our family's darkest, lowest time where, you know, you can have all kinds of thoughts in those moments. But the next day, it was as if God was saying, just trust me, I've got this. And with Ben's video sharing what God had done in his life, that message encouraged other people. And through that video, we had people begin to reach out to us as a family saying,
from all over the world,
I saw your son's video. I want to go back to church, or I want to know more about God, or where do I find a Bible? Or I was an atheist this morning, but now I believe there's a God. And God just opened up the curtain and showed us how he works miracles and works in people's hearts. And he turned a horrible situation into one that we could be very thankful for.
Mm.
We still miss Ben deeply to this day, but we also see the miracles that God has done in the hearts of people. And we really want that for the parents of the children in Uvalde.
Mm, for sure.
Yeah, it's very difficult to have hope in a time when you just lost your children or your child, like these people in Uvalde have. And, you know, it's hard to know what to say to someone who's lost a child or any loved one. But, you know, maybe there's hope in some of the things that Ben shared, knowing that this place where these children have gone is better, you know, a much better place than where we are today.
Well, now, your daughter Allie wrote Ben's story in a book called When Will Heaven Begin? Sean, we just have about a couple more minutes. Just give us a nutshell of that book and how people can get it.
Yeah, it's called When Will the Heaven Begin? It's a phrase that was coined by Kid Cudi, because Kid Cudi was one of Ben's favorite music artists. And she wrote the book for our family, telling Ben's story as he shared it, and some of his life and the events that led up to his YouTube video that went viral on the internet. And I think you can still get it on Amazon.
Amen. When will heaven begin? Well, we've been talking to Sean and Deanne Breedlove, and I appreciate you guys so much. Sean, you know, you've always been a hero of mine, and you helped disciple me when I was in college. And nobody would ever wish this on anyone, to go through the loss of a child. But God really does. Romans 8:28 is really true. And God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And so I just want to tell you guys, thank you. Your story, Ben's story, has blessed and encouraged and given hope to millions of people. And may God continue to use his story, his testimony, his life to touch lives for Jesus Christ. So thank you guys for being my guests today on Real Truth for Today. And you can find out more. Type in Allie Breedlove, A-L-L-Y, Breedlove, and her book, When Will the Heaven Begin? And you can read about Ben's story. You can go to YouTube and see what he did on those 3x5 cards where he shared his story. Well, we are out of time for today. Thank you for being with us on Real Truth for Today. And I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I'll be with you again tomorrow. Shine for Christ and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use your life for his glory. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.